Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. All the pressure is on Congress this week as it deals with a Friday funding deadline, you might have heard. David Hawkins, senior editor at Roll Call, thinks shutdown worries are overblown. It's next year we should be worrying about, and he joins me now. And you've said this before, David, that you think they're just going to resolve either with an omnibus or, at worst case, a full year CR, but not a shutdown.
I don't think there will be. I don't think there is any political will, really, among anybody in Congress to shut down the government over the things that they're arguing about in the last couple of weeks. You know, it's hard to predict President Trump. You know, unpredictability has been his calling card. But I've got to believe that he does not want on his 100th day anniversary to have anybody even thinking about blaming him for being part of a shutdown. The 100th day of his presidency is Saturday. The government's deadline funding is Friday. I do think that what's likely to happen, and it's a very fluid situation, is that they may need to buy themselves 1 week of extra time to make the final decision.
And so looking ahead to 2018, this is where you see the real big philosophical imprint, if you can call it that, that the Trump administration has proposed for the budget.
That's exactly right. We should look at looking back for just a second here. It was that after the election, there was a pretty reasonable chance that the last Congress and the last president could have figured something out during that lame duck session. But it was the incoming Trump administration that said, hold off here. We would like to negotiate the mid-year spending bill. That has since sort of faded. The Trump administration's interest in really getting down into the weeds on every line item has faded. And already they seem to be turning their attention towards the fiscal 18 budget beginning in October. That's where the fight is going to be. That's where the big fight is going to be about, as it is with every new president. A new president's big budgetary move is almost always in his first year in office. So his Mr. Trump's plan for a huge trade-off of more guns for less butter is going to be played out between now and October, if not beyond.
Whatever happened to the 2017 supplemental defense bill or budget that he asked for?
Well, that's now knit up in what's going on this week, and I do think that he will end up getting some of that. Whether it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be carried as its own little bill, but yes, the president will get some additional money for defense as part of the 17 bill. And then his really big increase for defense is for next year. Many listeners may know this. He wants to increase the defense budget by $54 billion, which is about 10%, and then cut everything else by an equivalent amount, $54 billion. And that would require deep, deep cuts in many, many departments, EPA being the harshest one cut, almost 30%, but about half a dozen departments, more than 10%.
And of course, they're already saying, you know, that's a non-starter on the Democratic side and some Republican elements. So really, it's going to be a compromise. We just don't know the shape of it at this point.
We don't know the shape of it. But what I would argue is that the shape is going to have to be a bigger shape than what they're talking about now. There is, in theory, by law, there is a spending freeze, a spending cap for 18 of $1.065 trillion. That's part of the spending caps that they have been tinkering with now for the better part of 6 years. That's the number for next year. It's essentially a freeze from this year. It's a billion or two, actually less than this year, probably. But it's a freeze. And so what the president has proposed is this changing the shape of the pie, which is now 52% defense, 48% domestic, to 57% defense, 43% domestic, but staying within the cap. And I think the only way that they can come close to any kind of deal is if the president reaches out to some Democrats and some Republicans who would be willing to raise that cap in return for probably an equivalent amount of additional money for defense and for domestic. Because the Democrats are not going to vote for any increase in the cap that is just for defense, and the Republicans are not going to vote for any increase in the cap that is not generous toward defense. So the only way to avoid a big fight is for everybody to agree to probably raise the amount of spending, maybe raise it by that total of $54 billion. Or, believe it or not, when the spending caps were first instituted back during that whole shutdown, showdown, the big financial crisis of 11, when there was going to be a debt default, the original deal for 2018, which they've since changed their mind about, was to have spending next year of about $100 billion more than is now called for. So there are lots of ways out of this. And my view is the sooner they kind of bite the bullet and realize that a spending cap of $1.065 trillion is not really going to work, The better it is politically for all sides.
We're speaking with David Hawking, senior editor at Roll Call. And of course, the makeup of Congress is changing or could change slightly or a lot. We don't know yet in the coming election before they start talking about 2018. But short term, Jason Chaffetz leaving.
He is leaving. And that's one of the bigger surprises of the for those of us who pay attention to Congress during the recess is Chairman Chaffetz's decision to leave. As you and I are talking here, there is lots of rumors that he is going to leave early, but he says he's not. So the question becomes, of course, for people in this audience, is who would chair the House committee that is in charge of oversight of the federal government and so-called government reform, being changes to the civil service system. That committee is filled disproportionately with members of the so-called Freedom Caucus, the confrontational conservatives who give the leadership so much trouble. One reason for that is, to be honest, the Government Reform and Oversight Committee is not a premier committee to many. Many lawmakers come to Washington and would rather make policy than do oversight and civil service stuff. So it's been sort of a backwater for many members. So many of the senior members are not the type that the leadership would usually turn to be a chairman. Generally, the leadership want people who they can work with. So my eye is on Trey Gowdy, the congressman from South Carolina who made headlines a couple of years ago as the chairman of the committee that investigated Benghazi. He is a very conservative guy. He's trusted by the conservatives, but he also is somebody that the leadership feels they can work with. So he is, even though he is, I think, eighth or ninth in seniority, he would be the guy that I'd look to as the likeliest person to emerge as a top-tier candidate for chairman.
And on the Democratic side, should it go that way next year?
The obvious choice would be the current ranking Democrat, Elijah Cummings, who is, I'm going to use the word beloved. I would say he's highly respected and on the Democratic side, and he has certainly done yeoman work for that side in trying to have their arguments heard on that committee in the last few years, and I think he would be the clear choice.
No one would mistake him for a Republican, but there have been occasions where, in issues before that committee, he has agreed with the leadership.
You know, absolutely right. I mean, they're on issues, as I said a minute ago, there's sort of two things that committee does. There's the oversight stuff, which tends to be highly partisan, depending, you know, on who's in the White House and who controls that committee. It can be very highly partisan or quite quiet, and it's actually been kind of quiet this year. But then the other things that they do, which have to do with the actual operations of the government, the civil service, making government work more efficiently, there has been a pretty strong tradition of bipartisanship. And, you know, I would say Cummings, Chaffetz, Gowdy, all of them have been part of that.
David Hawking is senior editor of Roll Call. Thanks so much for that update.
Thank you, Tom.
Read more and find a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. 55 past the hour. This is the Federal Drive with Tom Temin. Follow us on Facebook.com/Federal News Radio and on Twitter. Our handle is @FedNewsRadio. Up next, the top national and federal headlines. I'm Tom Temin.